Welcome to the fourth hour of the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show podcast. Hillbilly Hits is hosted by Tracy Pitcox, and it's in its third decade of providing traditional country music, the true heart of country music. Here is Tracy. Enjoy the show.
Hey, well, all right, sure, here we go there, and what are they going to give for? I'm at $600 down here now, $10 and now, $25 and now, $35, $35 another, $50 now, $60 now, $75, $75 another, $85 on the binder. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. When I find out a bidder now, $30, $30, give me 30, make it 30, bid up on $30, Billy, give me 30, hooray, bid a $30 bid. $30 bid now, $35, Billy, give me 35, to make it 35, to make it 35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest, he practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the bar, just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bid and a $4 40 bid, give me 40, make it 40 bid, I'm on the $4 bid, give me 40, $4 bid and a $4 bid. $40 bid and now $45, really give me $45 to make it a $45, a bid at a $45, who would have bid it at a $45 bid? So from that boy who went to school, there grew a man who played it cool. He came back home a full-fledged auctioneer. Then the people came from miles around just to hear him make that rhythmic sound and filled their heart with such a happy cheer. His fame spread out from shore to shore, he had all he could do and more. Had to buy a plane to get around. He's the tops in all the land. Let's all give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. $45 bid, another $50 bid, Billy, give me 50, make it 50, bid on a $50, Billy, give me 50, hooray, bid on a $50 bill. $50 bid now, $55, Billy, give me 55, make it a $55, bid on a $55, sold that goat for a $50 bill. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let him out and walk him home. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are they going to give for? I have a $700 down here now, $10 and now, $25 and now, $35, $35 and now, the $50 now, $60 now, $75, $75, $75 and now, $85, $85 and now, $800, who want to bid the bump and did it now, $10 and now, $25, $25 and now, $35, $35 and now, the $50 now, $60 now.
Yeah, Leroy Van Dyke to kind of kick off this hour of the Hits Radio Show with one called The Auctioneer. Good to see that Leroy Van Dyke was back out on the road. He's been off, of course, because of COVID, but they had a couple of big Country Gold package shows this past month, and good to see Leroy Van Dyke still out performing. He's in his 90s and just, man, does a tremendous job out on the road. Here's one from the great James O'Gwynn, the Smiling Irishman, Pride of the Hayride.
You make me think I could change my way of living, but I've been living much too fast to live so slow, and the nightlife still reveals my I'm
Everybody, I'm Jeannie Seeley with the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Just wanted to remind you that you're listening to KNEL, the best in country music, right here in Brady, Texas, with my good friend Tracy Pitcock. We're glad to have you with us.
There's one called Pride from Jeannie Seeley. Jeannie Seeley is celebrating her 55th anniversary as a member of the Grand Ole Opry this weekend. And man, I wish we could have been in Nashville with her. She's doing the Opry, of course, on Saturday night, celebrating her 55th anniversary. And then she's also hosting the Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree from the Troubadour Theater on Music Valley Drive on Saturday night after the Opry is over. So you talk about a party. I'm sure it's going to be a great party Saturday in Nashville. And certainly our sincere congratulations to Jeannie Seeley, just one of my longest and best buddies in this country music business. 55 years is quite an accomplishment. She's also performed on the Grand Ole Opry more than any other person in the history of the show. Here's Jeannie Seeley with one called One Step Away.
Coming home. I've been gone long enough. Yes, sir. My favorite memory of all.
Okay.
And the last cowboy songs.
My favorite memory of all and the last cowboy song. I'll do it for you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
The first time we met is a favorite memory of mine. They say time changes all it pertains to, but your memory is stronger than time. I guess everything does change except what you choose to recall. There's a million good daydreams to dream on, but baby, you are my favorite memory of all. Like the night we made love in the hallway and slept all night long on the floor. Like the winter we spent on Lake Shasta, alone, closer than ever before. And I remember that London vacation. It was you who made the whole thing a ball. There's a million good times I could dwell on, but baby, you are my favorite memory of all. The first time we met is a favorite memory of mine. The time changes all it pertains to, but your memory is stronger than time. I guess everything does change except what you choose to recall. There's a million good days dreams to dream on, but babe, you are my favorite memory of all.
This is the last cowboy song, end of a 100-year waltz. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's lost. He rides the feedlots, clerks in the market, on weekends selling tobacco and beer. Dreams of tomorrow surrounded by fences, but he'll dream tonight of when fences weren't there. He blazed the trail with Lewis and Clark, and eyeball to eyeball Wyatt back down. He stood shoulder to shoulder with Travis and Texas, and rode with the 7th when Custer went down. And this is the last cowboy song, the end of a 100-year waltz. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's lost. how he looked on canvas. And Louis L'Amour has told us his tale. Me and old Waylon and Chris sang about him and wished to God I could have ridden his trail. The old Chisholm Trail is now covered in concrete, and they truck them to market in 50-foot rigs. They roll by his marker, and they don't even notice. Like living and dying was all he ever did. And this is the last cowboy song. The end of a 100-year walls. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's law. This is the last cowboy song. The end of a 100-year waltz. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's law. This is the last cowboy song. The end of a 100-year waltz. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's lost.
I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. And I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you. You left me and you went away. You said that you'd be back in just a day. You've broken your promise and you left me here alone. I don't know why you did, dear, but I do know that you're gone. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you. Oh, Billy Bird now. You too, buddy. Someday you may be lonesome too. Walking the floor is good for you. Just keep right on walking and it won't hurt you to cry. Remember that I loved you and I will the day I die. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. And I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you.
Without a doubt, back in the 1960s, Ernest Tubb had one of the greatest bands in the country music business. So many recordings, whenever you went in to record, you used studio musicians. And E.T. always used the Texas Troubadours because his band was as good as any of the studio musicians that they had back in the day. And he had that unique sound. And it was because of the folks like Billy Bird and Buddy Emmons and all those guys that created that sound of the E.T. Texas Troubadour group. Do that little combination for Terry. Good to hear from Terry tonight. He's tuned in with us and asked me to do a little E.T. and Hank tonight. Happy to do that.
A worn out shoe. My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. So why don't you love me like you used to do? I ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing and a long, long walk. We don't get nearer, closer than a country mile. So why don't you spark me like you used to do? And say sweet nothings like you used to coo. I'm the same old trouble that you've always been through. So why don't you love me like you used to do?
Love me like you used to do. I was mentioning earlier in the program that we'd be joined by Cody Norris this evening on the program. Cody is a fine young man that's doing such a great job for traditional country and bluegrass music, and we're honored to have him with us this evening here at KNEL. So good to have Cody with us. Cody, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, and I certainly hope you are.
I am, and hey, man, I'm excited to know that you're coming to Texas.
Oh, man, we get excited every time we get to do some touring out in that part of the world. We love Texas, and certainly love Texas folks.
I want to plug in before we get started here. Where are you going to be working at, Cody? Tell the folks about that.
Okay, coming up on October the 6th, we will be at the Breckenridge Auditorium in Breckenridge, Texas. And then on the 7th and 8th, we'll be at the Big Bend Bluegrass Festival out in the Alpine. So we're looking really, really forward to that. That's our first time to Alpine. We've been to Breckenridge, I think, a couple of times before. I hadn't worked that particular venue, but we're certainly looking forward to getting to come back to Texas.
Well, we're glad to have you. Let's go back. Tell the folks how you got started in the music business, because you started at a very young age, Cody.
I did. You know, I kind of got bit by the music bug when I was only, I don't know, maybe about 9 years old, and kind of, you know, started to express some interest, and I think my parents thought it'd just be something that might last a couple of weeks, you know. And like every other, you know, little kid, you go through a lot of phases. But when I really got a hold of the music, man, it just, I don't know, it just did something for me. My dad was an avid festival goer as a kid, and we listened to a lot of music around the house. There was always music playing. Nobody played any music as far as playing the instruments, but there was always recorded music, you know, being played in our house. And as time went on, I, you know, worked with a couple local gospel groups when I was first getting started, and then you know, through my teenage years, played some with, you know, some different regional touring bands, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll try this thing and see what happens. I'd met a lot of people, and certainly glad that I persevered and never kind of hung it on the nail, and it's been really, really good to us.
Well, now, you mentioned festivals, and I think most people probably understand what you're talking about, but there may be some listeners that don't really understand the impact that festivals have on the music business, especially that in the bluegrass industry. Tell us how you feel about festivals. What has it meant to you?
You know, for bluegrass music, traditional country music, folk music, whatever you like to refer to it as, I feel like it's all kind of the same thing. We just use some different instruments at times. But, you know, the real true traditional music, the festivals have had such an impact, because that's one of the only times in any type of music, really, where artists and fans pretty much get to become as one. At those venues, you can walk right up, shake and howdy with your favorite artist. If you, so many people bring RVs to the festivals, and so often, you know, as an artist, somebody's always wanting to take you and feed you and do all, you know, it's just such a homegrown, it's kind of like family reunion type deal with a music show. And, you know, the festivals have had such an impact on, you know, traditional music culture in general. And, you know, the first time that that was ever done, the first man to bring bluegrass and country artists together was, you know, Carlton Haney, the, you know, long time, so many country acts. And he saw that vision, and I'm so happy that at that time he saw that vision, or we would still just be going to standard auditorium package shows, and that, that outdoor concept wouldn't exist.
And what a character in this business. Carlton Haney was a character. I love characters, and he certainly was a character.
I am such a character fan, and I'm on a mission to be sure that those don't completely disappear, because they're disappearing by the wayside. We don't have nowhere near enough characters anymore.
I agree completely. Now, your music is so interesting to me, and I've studied it during the last few years since I first heard of you and became familiar with you, because you really can't say that you're a bluegrass artist. You can't say you're just a traditional country artist, or you can't say you're a folk artist. It's kind of a merging of all three of those.
I'm not a fan of genre restriction. I think if something's good, it ought to be good. And I, you know, being so deeply rooted in East Tennessee, where I'm from just a few miles from the birthplace of country music in Bristol, Virginia.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all my old time and bluegrass roots from people, you know, Doc Watson, you know, just lived a few minutes down the road from where I was born. You know, the Stanley Brothers were just from across the hill over in Virginia. My music is really a hodgepodge of, you know, all the stuff that I grew up with. You know, everybody from at our house, you know, we were playing everybody from Bill Monroe to Ernest Tubb to John Fogerty and CCR to you name it. It was everything growing up. And, you know, my music, I feel like, has all that stuff in it, even some, you know, some of the blues and stuff from the gospel music, from, they're just all types of elements to my music. And then, on top of all that, I really worked so hard at creating a top-notch stage show so that, you know, when the fan leaves our performance, it knocks their socks off. That's something we really work hard at.
Well, and that even goes in the title of your, you know, you go as the Cody Norris Show. And so it's not just an individual up there singing, it's actually a performance, and I think that's important as well.
For sure, and you know, we work extremely hard at that, to make that, when this is our mission statement with the Cody Norris Show, we always want to make a memory. When people leave that show, I want them to take us home with them, and it just be something that they'll remember, you know, for a long, long time.
I'm a huge fan of the way that the artist used to be presented. I love the Nudie suits. I love the Manuel suits. You know, Nathan Turk, Harvey Krantz, all those guys. And truthfully, the first time I had read an article about you several years ago, and that's what caught my eye, is the presentation that you were making in some of those beautiful outfits. And you've maintained that.
That's when I first started that in the bluegrass world. It was somewhat frowned upon, artist-wise. Not really frowned upon. They ribbed me about it and would give me a hard time and joke and laugh and all that type of thing. And but I wanted something different. I was working so hard to create something different, being a young artist. And, you know, that's going on about, you know, I think I introduced those. I had the band for a couple of years. And so about 12 years ago, I guess, was when I first started wearing the suits. And I had to save up for nearly a year, I guess, to buy the first one. And but it had so much impact fan-wise. You know, I had people gravitating toward us that wouldn't have given us even a look 6 months prior to that. And it was really, really I feel like in hindsight, I didn't know about it then, but I feel like overall it's been a really good move for us to go to that. And honestly, since that time, there's been a lot of other bluegrass bands that have adapted to that also.
Jimmy Dickens told me that was 50% of the show, your appearance. So there you go.
I would honestly say that a whole lot of times it's more than that, because if we're blessed with the ability to see, I feel like we buy everything we do with our eyes. You know, you could, I told someone in an interview a while back, you could advertise the finest ribeye steak in the world, but if you brought it out to the table and it was purple with green polka dots, nobody's probably going to eat it.
That's a good point.
It's all about how it's presented. It's all about how it's presented.
Well, you've had a lot of success with your album, All Suited Up. That's done well for you. Does it surprise you that you're having success like that this early in your career?
Well, it's humbling to me. It's wonderful that people have received our music and received our show and the way we do it. And as far you know, as album sales go, it's very humbling to me when you look at the sheets on those where they're being sold, and you know, so many of our overseas sales, and the fact that we have fans, you know, creating fans throughout the world on a day-to-day basis, it just makes you stop in your tracks and really feel like that it's all been worthwhile up to this point.
Well, you actually have gotten a lot of attention, especially with the IBMA and also with the SPG IMA as well, Entertainer of the Year, nominations and awards. Those kind of things have to mean a lot to you as well, Cody.
Winning from Spigma there in Nashville this year, when we won Entertainer of the Year, to be nominated against, you know, I don't want to say against, I want to say with, you know, people that have been my heroes for, you know, for all my working career, just to be nominated and thought of by the fans on that level at this point was the most humbling experience ever. But to have actually been nominated, voted on, and win that, it just stopped me in my tracks, and I was, for one time in my life, when I stepped up to that podium, I was speechless, and just so thankful that the fans look on us fondly like that and enjoy what we do.
I saw Darren Aldridge a couple of weeks ago backstage at the Opry, and he was mentioning producing your latest project and about how proud he was of that. That's another thing, to have someone like that produce a project. I'm sure it's humbling for you as well.
Darren and I have been friends for many, many years, since he was working with Charlie Waller and the Country Gentlemen. And back at that time, I had the privilege of working some with Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. And I think that's about the time Darren and I met. But we were around one another quite a bit back then, and we were instant friends. And he has been so supportive of my career all the way through. Of course, you know, my music and Darren and Brooke's music, they're completely on two whole different spectrums. And so many people, and I've heard people make comments, you know, Darren and I are really, really close friends, and our paths cross musically, and he produces records for us, and, you know, just how that works. But, you know, Darren, he's just such a great guy, has such a keen ear, and they have been wonderful, wonderful friends to me, he and Brooke both.
Got to mention Mary, too. Mary's an important part of your show.
Mary Rachel's an extremely important part of my show, on stage and off. She just works so diligently behind the scenes, keeping everything working out for us. And she's a phenomenal fiddle player, and she was actually voted from the Society for Preservation of Bluegrass Music this year as their Fiddle Performer of the Year, and we're so proud of that. And she's a very, very talented little gal. She plays four or five instruments, plays them well. And folks will get to see that, of course, on the show. And they'll never be able to do anything but like that million-dollar smile she's got, too.
I like that. And if you don't mind, Cody, would you mind telling the listeners how old you are?
I am 34 years old. I'm the old man in the band.
And I think that's incredible, because you have such a young age, and the band has such a young age as well, but they are steeped. So steep, you're so steeped in tradition, and that just makes me feel so good.
I appreciate that very much, and hope that we can kind of be a torchbearer to carry on, you know, traditional music, whether it be bluegrass or country or folk or rockabilly, whatever you want to call what, I don't know what people call us anymore. I've been called so many things in my life, some of them I didn't even care for, but anyway, I just hope that folks will maybe call us one thing, and that's original. That, you know, we're kind of something different, and that, you know, what we bring to the table is something that can be enjoyed. Everybody from toddlers to grandma and grandpa, and all points in between. And I hope everybody can enjoy it. That's our goal.
Well, speaking of goals, what's your upcoming goal for maybe the rest of this year and next year? What are you looking at at accomplishing?
Well, I would one major goal is take, you know, being able to of course, take our music to a broader audience. And we're working so hard at that. We have a wonderful, wonderful team assembled in Nashville, Tennessee with HB Entertainment and 2911 Publicity and Bubble Up and Richard Southern, this wonderful, wonderful crew of people that we have to work with and to coincide with Rebel Records. And to be able to really take our music to a broader audience of people, another huge goal, and I think that's a goal of every artist in any genre, to play the Grand Ole Opry. And that's something that we as a band, it would mean so much to us to be able to accomplish and to do. And I feel that, of course, that's pretty much a goal of so many artists. But I would say our number one goal is to take what we have, expand it, take it to the masses, and hope that they'll enjoy what we do.
Well, I predict that's going to happen, and I predict you'll be making that Opry appearance pretty soon, and I'm very excited for you for that. Talk about Mountain Rosalie.
Mountain Rosalie is an old song that I hope we breathe some new life into. I feel like that was one of those that kind of just got overlooked. It was recorded, I think to date it's been recorded maybe three times over the last 80 years. However, it was, you know, kind of a B-side type thing, nothing that ever really, and we kind of breathed some new life in it and kind of put the Cody North Show Hot Rod approach to it, I guess, and sort of brought it up to what we do and the way we do it. Had so much fun in the studio recording that one also, and that one was kind of a fan's choice deal. We would, over the last couple of years, here and there, we'd slide that one in on the show, and everybody just always liked it. And, you know, you'd hear them come up, sing the one about the hillbilly baby, about the hillbilly baby. And that, you know, that being the line used a couple of times in the chorus. So I certainly hope that the folks, when that does hit radio, I think that's to be released October 7th, I believe. And when that official release is, I hope that they'll call into their radio wherever they listen to it and request Mountain Rosalie.
Well, we're going to play a little bit early today, if that's all right with you, Cody.
That's great. That'd be great.
And I really appreciate you taking time with us, and hope our listeners will go catch you in Breckenridge, Texas, and Alpine. It's going to be some great shows with Cody Norris and the Cody Norris Show. Anything you want to tell the listeners in Central Texas today, Cody, before we leave you?
I certainly hope whoever's listening wherever today that they will come out and see. Keep tabs on our schedule. Check out thecodynorrisshow.com. Remember, friends, that's Cody with a K. Anything else would be Sodi, and I wouldn't want you to be confused. Also, check out all of our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and our YouTube channel. You can see what all we have going on, where we're going, and probably even what we had for breakfast today. The Cody Norris Show.
You are a natural, Cody, and it's good to have you with us, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking a little bit of time, and let's do this again sometime, okay?
Let's do it. Cody Norris and the Cody Norris Show. Here's Mountain Rosalie.
Mountain Rosalie, for me. She lives way back in the hills, my mountain Rosalie. Her hair is dark and curly, and her eyes are big and blue. She's raised on corn and taters, and she loves her Mountain Dew. Mountain sweetheart, Mountain Rosalie. Hillbilly baby, waiting there for me. Cheeks are red as roses, and her lips are meant for me. Hillbilly baby, my Mountain Rosalie.
The Cody Norris Show. Isn't that good? That's some good stuff there. Mountain Rosalie for you. If you're up around Breckenridge, Texas, or Alpine next month, be sure and catch his show. I know you'll be thoroughly entertained. Here's one for Nan and Jan tonight. Here's Landon Dodd.
I just walked the streets in my old hometown, searching for
for you. Here's one for Emily tonight, who asked me to play something from Charlie Walker, and I picked out this old song that you might remember. A little song called Good Deal, Lucille.
Goodbye, Lou, Shashavu, another man. C'est l'amour, port du jour. Boo, here. good deal, Lucille.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, good deal, Lucille.
You know what I was just thinking? I was just sitting here thinking that I cannot think of anywhere else in this entire world tonight that I would rather be than right here with you on the Hits Radio Show. Here's Tony Booth. He'll be with us Sunday on Facebook Live at 2 o'clock from the Heart of Texas Country Music Museum.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown to that old rugged cross. I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory
will be doing Heart of Texas Facebook Live from the Heart of Texas Country Music Museum. That'll be Sunday at 2 o'clock. If you get a chance, stop by and see us. You're welcome to come by. It's an hour show, and we do it live on Facebook, and we'd love to have you at the museum or watching us on Facebook, either one. Good to hear from Mother. She sent me a message and said that she and Connie and Reverie were listening in Dumas, Texas tonight. We appreciate that very much. Play this Jay Cooker song for them tonight.
Daily walking.
rattle in for it, and I feel like traveling home. That's going to wrap it up for us on the Hits Radio Show. I want you to be sure and visit the Heart of Texas Country Music Museum this weekend. We'll be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Had some great folks from Fort Worth with us today at the museum, and we appreciate them so very much. Hope that you have a great weekend and a great week as well. Looking forward to being with our friend T. Graham Brown in Fredericksburg, Texas on Friday night. And then also we'll be in Blackwell, Texas on Saturday night with the Daryl McCall, Justin Trevino Show. I'm Tracy Pitcox, saying may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I got a broken heart. That's all I've got. You made me cry. And I cried a lot. I lost your love. Baby, thanks a lot. You told our friends as I was passing by that you're not sorry that you made me cry. You said I deserved just what I got. Well, if that's how you feel, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I got a broken heart. That's all I've got. You made me cry. And I cried a lot. I lost your love. Honey, thanks a lot. Oh, Pete Mitchell.
Played the part. Now all I've got is a broken heart. We loved a little, yeah, we laughed a lot. Then you were gone, honey. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I got a broken heart. You made me cry, and yeah, I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show, hosted by Tracy Pitcox. To listen live, tune in to KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com on Thursday night starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. We look forward to you listening again.